This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk with a Treasure Island World's Fair Anniversary Celebration Spotlight. Treasure Island was constructed to be the site of the Golden Gate International Exposition, which took place in 1939 and closed in 1940. The theme of the fair, Pacific Unity, found its most eloquent expression in the Court of the Pacifica. Presiding over the court was sculptor Ralph Stockpole's 80-foot sculpture named Pacifica. She was the fair's mythical goddess of the Western Ocean. Arranged around the circular, three-tiered fountain of Western waters were 20 oversized Pacific Unity sculptures representing the people of the Pacific. 12 smaller sculptures, twice life-size, were arranged on the tiers of the fountains of Western waters. On the plaza surrounding the fountain were 8 additional sculptures. They represented the major areas of the Pacific, the Americas, South Pacific, and Asia. The larger figures were posed as for formal portraits, poised and dignified. The smaller, more dynamic sculptures were captured in spontaneous actions, dancing, making music, working, and sleeping. The Pacific Interclub Yacht Association started a 360-degree parade around Treasure Island last year and called it the Pacific Unity Parade. This Pacific Rim Unity Parade around Treasure Island is organized by the Pacific Interclub Yacht Association with 110 member clubs in 2022, quite a few more boats and clubs than in 1939 when PICYA only had 20 member yacht clubs with which to host its regatta for the World's Fair. This is the second year for the Pacific Rim Unity Parade, which was born during the pandemic. And to celebrate the importance of unity amongst the countries connected to the Pacific Rim of the ocean. And this year, on Saturday, February 19, 2022, boats will circle the island again. We celebrate the skills of all the captains who will be sailing or piloting their boats this year and plan to invite them to a party in the Treasure Island Museum on April 16, 2022, with a big band swing dance and ceremony. This Treasure Island World's Fair Anniversary Celebration Spotlight was brought to you by SailingPortal.org. Sailing Portal is the new U.S. sailing accredited sailing school in the Berkeley Marina, organized after OCSC closed during the pandemic. With the core U.S. sailing instructors who wanted to continue the traditions of teaching people how to crew, captain, and charter boats with confidence and competence. Thank you again to SailingPortal.org for bringing us this spotlight. Without our U.S. sailing instructors, who are also U.S. Coast Guard captains, to teach great students, we would not have as many boats on the bay. For more information, go to SailingPortal.org.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday at 9:40 a.m. That means we check in with our friend Karen Lyle, who co-hosts this segment with me, which is brought to you by SailSportTalk.com. We're going to go to a pre-recorded interview with Karen and Rob McKinney, the CEO of Northern Pacific Airwaves. That's going to come up in a couple minutes. But Karen, you went down to L.A., and as you put it, a new airline being born. What's that maternity ward like? Is it like a warehouse?
Well, actually, an airport hangar in the San Gabriel International Airport with 75 media and 150 VIPs from different corporations. It was really quite thrilling to see the art on the plane, which is what a livery is. It's the revealing of what the plane is going to look like. And there were a lot of people there. I didn't know anyone, but there were three that really stood out. And they just happened to be representing the companies that were the sponsors. There was Dan Curtin of PepsiCo Beverages, who kept me entertained in line while we were waiting for something. And Daniel Miller, the regional director for Boeing Business Operations, who was very instrumental in helping me understand how everything works in the airline business. And Paul Oliver, the president of Certified Aviation Services, is actually a sailor. And he keeps a boat down in Mexico. And we had a conversation and new people in common. It was really quite fun.
You're such a social butterfly. You're a chameleon, aren't you?
Well, Butterfly would probably be appropriate because I do go from place to place.
What is the Bahaha trip?
The Bahaha, which is the one Paul had been on about three times, is a very pleasant sail from San Francisco all the way down to Puerto Vallarta, I believe, is where they end up. And they go, they have, it's a big party, basically, and maybe several hundred boats go independently. It's not a race. It's just really people just gathering together and sailing down the coast. The hard part is coming back. And so they call that the Baja Bash because you're going upwind and you're the bow of your boat is crashing into the waves. And so oftentimes people will just leave their boat there and say, you know what, I think I'm going to fly back.
Yeah, and then after you do the Bahaha, you can go to the Yucatan, right?
There you are.
All right, it's Karen Lyle, and we have an interview with her speaking with Rob McKinney. Let's do that.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I have the privilege of sitting here with the CEO of Northern Pacific Airways, Rob McKinney. Rob, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for giving me your time today.
Absolutely, Karen. It's a pleasure to meet with you.
You have a new international route that is going from the Pacific West through Alaska to Japan. I'd love to hear more about why you decided that particular route.
The whole concept is based off the Iceland Air model, where they were successfully able to connect Europe and North America over Iceland. We're going to be doing the same thing, just over Anchorage. Anchorage happens to be located perfectly, geolocated right on the Great Circle routing between Asia and North America. So it makes the perfect logical stopping off place for people to connect and change planes and those kinds of things. And so we're still working through the authority with the US DOT. I can't say we're doing routes, but I can tell you some of the cities that we're focusing on. And on the US side, we're looking at Orlando and New York, Las Vegas, San Francisco, and LA. And then on the Asia side, we're looking at Tokyo, Osaka, Nagoya, and Seoul.
In 1968 to 69, and I'm dating myself here, I was 7 years old, and I was living in Okinawa, and I went from Japan through Alaska to San Francisco to visit my dad and back several times. So I remember those seeing two sunrises or two sunsets on that route. It was just absolutely gorgeous. We stopped over in Anchorage. I guess that kind of went away for a while, and now you're bringing it back.
We are bringing it back because we are located already in Alaska. There's an entire unused north terminal that is just ready for us to move in and start service. And we think that we can offer a better price point using narrow bodies and not having to tanker the fuel for a 15-hour direct flight.
You are a regional airlines first, and now you're making this into an international airline. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we operate a regional airline solely within the state of Alaska. And then starting later this year, we'll have the global long-haul airline.
And today, there's going to be a airplane livery reveal, and you have a plane that's being unveiled, as it were, a piece of art. So excited to see this. What inspired you in the design and the directions that you gave to your design company?
Well, we definitely wanted to represent that we're an Alaskan company and we're all about Alaska. So there was a big influence as far as the paint scheme, you'll see hints of Northern Lights and things like that. So that's the big driver of what's important to us, is that we want to do things that uplift the state of Alaska and put the state back in the forefront of people's minds as a really awesome place they need to go visit.
Well, and of course, my show is Sailsport Talk, and you have some marvelous sailing in Alaska, actually up the coast, which is not an easy journey to Alaska, but then you can also just fly into Alaska and go sailing by chartering a boat, I understand.
Absolutely. The Alaska, it's almost limitless, the things that there is to do. You mentioned sailing, but you can go see the wildlife, go see caribou and bear in their natural habitat. You can go dog sledding on a glacier. You can go out to St. Paul Island and see just magnificent birds from all over the world. You can go to Dutch Harbor and see where they filmed Deadliest Catch. It's just amazing of all the things that you can do in the state of Alaska.
I was just talking to your executive assistant as I was getting ready for this interview, and she showed me a picture of a baby moose that was walking down the street on the sidewalk.
Yeah, so I just got an email from my security department. There was a mom and a baby moose just walking down Airport Way right in front of our headquarters just this morning.
Well, and that interface between wildlife and human beings is something that's possible because it's not as densely populated. So you have more wildlife that feels free to say, I own this too.
They do. And even though Anchorage has about 270,000 people in it, still you'll see moose walking through the middle of town all winter long.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, broadcasting on Sports Byline to iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, 200 satellite radio stations in the U.S., reaching 82 million people in 168 countries, and broadcasting to all our people abroad on the American Forces Network. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm speaking with Rob McKinney, the CEO of Northern Pacific Airways. What is it about being a CEO of an airlines that really appeals to you? What do you like most? I mean, is it working with your people? Is it the conceptual or the idea phase of things? Is it the flying itself?
Well, certainly I started my career as a pilot, and so the flying part, I have to admit, jazzes me, but it's absolutely the people. It's just an amazing group of people that we have working in Alaska that just believe in our vision and what it is that we're trying to do. And I actually look forward to Monday mornings because I think what we do is important to service. I think it serves the state. And I think to be able to serve communities in a bigger, larger way is very important.
It's not every day that a new airline comes to be. And basically, you're coming on the map as an international airline at a time when we're just coming out of the pandemic. But you have established relationships with the government officials of different countries. Tell us a little bit about the diplomacy involved.
Well, there absolutely is. This is definitely different than dealing with local U.S. officials. There's cultural things that have to be considered, and we've been on a rapid learning curve on how to be sensitive to those cultural needs, and we're still growing and learning. But you're absolutely right. That is probably one of the bigger challenges of creating an international airline versus just keeping a domestic one.
I know that for the state of Hawaii, there is a sailboat race called the Transpac, mm-hmm. and the Pac Cup, where those particular races actually started out of friendships between the natives who were in those islands more than 50 years ago. And now it's an institution. It's done all the time. It's not 50 years ago, but still there's new frontiers. What are the new frontiers that you're dealing with?
You mentioned some of them, just the cultural sensitivities that we need to be in line with and how to market across the entire globe. That's new to us. We really had down, you know, how to market to our customers there inside Alaska. So being able to reach, you know, all the people that we think will benefit from our service has been one of our learning curves as well.
How does an airline get funded? Is this something that's done as with investors as part of a private corporation, or is there other ways that that happens?
We're on a series of fundraising. We're about between a third and a half of the way there of what we need. Part of our funding has come from our sister company, Flycoin, the cryptocurrency that will be the basis for the loyalty program. But then in a few months, we'll be starting another raise straight into the airline.
Cryptocurrency, that's something that's a new thing for us. How is the cryptocurrency going to work with the loyalty program? You've intrigued me.
So yeah, we really are proud of that. We feel like that puts us on the cutting edge of all the new cool things to how you operate a company. And instead of getting a point or a mile like you do traditionally with airlines that expire or they're real limited and they're very hard to do anything other than purchase more flying with, we're going to issue people cryptocurrency that then they can trade on the exchanges. They could trade into other forms of cryptocurrency. They could trade it back into fiat currency. But we're working with a really good partnership with both the Ted Stevens Airport and the City of Anchorage that we're going to try to get almost every merchant in those two locations to accept Flycoin as a form of payment.
What got you interested in flying in the beginning when you became a pilot? Tell us a little bit about your history.
Sure. I grew up on a farm in Indiana and was planning to be a veterinarian. And one Christmas, I got flying lessons as my Christmas present. My parents actually bought off a public broadcasting auction the local flight school had donated. And at 16 years old, I started taking flying lessons, and I got to solo at 7 hours. So I was just like 16 years old and 7 total hours, and I'm in this machine with no pause button, and my whole world changed, and it just like was this awesome opportunity that I had to pursue.
You know, I've always been fascinated with flying too, because I had a family member who was part of Pan American Airlines, was an operations manager. I got to fly free everywhere. And I remember one of those flights that I made from Japan to San Francisco through Alaska was on a cargo plane with just me, the co-pilot, and a stewardess. And I got to sit there right by the pilot. And I think that was the time that I first became so fascinated with flying. And so now you're making this possible for pilots, many, many pilots, to fly your planes and people to fly on your airlines. It must be pretty thrilling for you to be here and at this event today that you've put on.
It's thrilling and humbling, the response from people like yourselves that come from such a long way away to join us in such a big milestone for the company. As I have this deep gratitude. It's so wonderful that we're being so well received all over the world.
my hope is for your company that you're able to realize your dreams and become one of those great airlines that we all depend upon, because we really need to have companies like yours out there doing this. This is a marvelous thing. What would you say for your potential employees and employees that you have now as to what your motto, your motivation, or the way in which you approach the people who serve with you?
Well, absolutely. That's my goal, is they serve with me. Nobody works for me. We're all partners. We're all a team. We're all pulling in the same direction. And our goal at Northern Pacific is to make us a one-stop shop for an entire career. So we're gonna be opening up a small airplane division. So straight out of even a community college, you'll be able to work your way all the way into the left seat of a Boeing Flying International.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. You know, sailing and flying are connected because they're all using the air, and we all have Lyft. So let's have too many more years of Lyft.
Absolutely, Karen. It's been a pleasure.